And I came down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land, and unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And yes, all these people did exist back then. The Bible's just not making this stuff up. I know those are weird words. Now, verse number 9. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. God's saying he hears what the children of Israel are going through in slavery in Egypt. They had been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. Verse number 9. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. God is speaking to Moses here. That thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said, and he's saying this on Mount Sinai. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly, this is God speaking again, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. They would have recognized these names, the Israelites, as the God that they served. Verse number 16, go and gather the elders of Israel together. And say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And you can exchange milk and honey for whatever you like, chocolate and hamburgers, or pizza and Frito-Lays or whatever. And verse number 18, that's basically what God's saying, a land flowing with everything you need to live. Verse number 18, and they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And he shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Okay, so that's the story we're at. And I'm going to get into a little bit of the context of what's going on in this story. But I think you guys know this story a little bit. Moses is on Mount Sinai, and he is talking to God. He's seen a burning bush, because he's a shepherd now. He's seen a burning bush. He went up to the Mount Sinai where he saw the burning bush, and God spoke to him through the burning bush. And this is the conversation Moses has with God. And the conversation goes on, and there's some more detail into it. We can get into that, but you can read that on your own time. But this is basically the gist of what's going on. God's asking Moses, or rather telling him, you're going to go to Egypt, and you're going to let my people go. You're going to get Pharaoh to let my people go. That way I can make a nation of Israel so they're not a slave people anymore. They're going to have their own nation. So this story is important for the new year, because the new year is coming, as this thing says, whether you are ready or not. The new year is going to be coming. And that's the title of the message this morning, Ready or Not. The new year is coming whether we are ready or not. Hopefully we have a great new year. Hopefully God blesses all of you in the new year. In 2019, I hope that God blesses you and that God prospers you, and I hope you have opportunities and that God gives you much this year. And I hope he blesses your life and your family this year. But I also know that you're going to grow the most in 2019. You're going to grow the most this year when you're confronted with things that you're not ready for. And that's not fun to hear on a Sunday morning, the Sunday morning of the new year. Again, we're counting it for the new year. I know you guys don't want to hear that. You're going to grow the most as a Christian, as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as whatever role you have in your life, when you're confronted with something that you're not ready for. And the truth is, we're always confronted with things that we're not ready for. In those times, when we're confronted with something that we're not ready for, the temptation is to forget about it, to put it to the side, to deal with it later, and to put aside the things that we're not ready for. Whether it's dealing with our finances, whether it's dealing with the children, whether it's dealing with our marriage, whether it's dealing with something at work, when we're confronted with something, the temptation is always to put it off, to put it aside, to forget about it. That's what I want to talk about today. Dealing with things, doing things, whether we're ready or not. Whether we're ready to deal with it, we're ready to do it or not. If we want to have the best year we've ever had, we're going to need to confront things that we're not ready for. We're going to need to confront things that we don't want to do. We're going to need to confront things that that God's been convicting us about, that God's been talking to us about, that perhaps someone else has been talking to us about, and we've realized they have a point, that we're going to have to confront those things in our life if we want to have a good year. Because the truth is, some things in life we need to do even if we're not ready. You imagine if all the things that you have to do in your life, you just said, I'm not really ready for that. I'm not going to do it. Imagine if you said that every time your child had a dirty diaper. You know what? I'm really not in the mood this morning. I'm going to put that off. I'll do it tomorrow. That'd be bad news tomorrow. You guys are looking at me like it's okay to smile. It's okay to, you guys with me this morning? That'd be bad news. If you just woke up tomorrow morning on a Monday, or you probably have tomorrow off, you woke up Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever, and you said, you looked at the clock, you know what? I'm not really in the mood to go to work tomorrow, go to work today. I'll go tomorrow. Some of you woke up, you said, you know what, I know I have 6,000 miles on my car between the last oil change. I'm going to put it off. I'm not really worried about that. I'm not ready for it. Those things in your life would start to fall apart. That would not be good in our life. The truth is, there's some things in our life that we have to do even if we're not ready. There's some things we know to do that we're supposed to do, but we don't do them because we're not ready to do them. There are some things we're not ready to do because we're afraid to do them. There's some things we don't like to do because we are fearful of it. We're afraid of the future. Some things this year we won't want to do because we'll believe we're not equipped to do it. This is what many Christians believe. They can't do something because they're not equipped. There are some things we won't feel ready to do because it would be more comfortable not to do them. Rarely is someone ready to forgive, for instance. Very often, out of fear, we're not ready to commit. Rarely is someone ready to be honest. Rarely is someone ready to tithe. Rarely is someone ready to serve others. Rarely is someone ready to stay because it's hard. Or rarely, conversely, rarely is someone ready to go because it's hard. You see, given the opportunity, humans and Christians are like water sometimes. We choose the path of least resistance. For instance, if I was to start to build a house, let's say I wanted to build a house, and I grew up in Michigan, there was plenty of people that lived in pole barns while they were building their house on their own property. Could you not? So say you want to build your own house. When you build your own house, you aren't going to look for ways you can shortcut. I mean, you're going to look for the best price, and you're going to look for the best materials at the best price, but you're not going to say, you know what, we don't really need a foundation to this house. How about we skip that? We'll just put lamination, we'll put some tile right over the dirt. We don't really need a foundation. I'm not really ready to put the foundation. It's just going to cost too much. You know what, we don't really need to build this roof. We can just kind of put some palm leaves over it. You start to cut corners on the house. You start to build it because you're like, this is the hard way to do it. I'm not really ready to do this. That's a bad philosophy for building a house. That's also a bad philosophy for building a life. You see, sometimes in life, we don't do something because we're not ready for it. We don't do something because we're not comfortable with it. We don't do something because, man, I'm just fearful of that situation. We're going to face things, and we need to face things this year that are difficult and uncomfortable. I know, man, that you guys don't want to hear that this morning. On the new year, it's cold outside. It's you guys are just getting over Christmas, and you're tired. You don't want to hear that you need to face things that are uncomfortable, face things that are difficult. But I say that because of this one reason. You grow the most when you do the things that are uncomfortable. You grow the most when you do the things that you're not ready to do. You grow the most as a Christian, as a husband, every part of your life when you do the things that you're not ready to do. This is what happened to Moses. When he spoke to God at the burning bush, he was called to do something even though he didn't want to do it, even though he felt like he wasn't ready to do it. Look at this, Exodus chapter 3, we just read this, verse number 8, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. This is God speaking to Moses, and to bring them up out of the land, a good land and a large, and a land flowing with milk and honey. At this point, Moses is probably saying, oh, good, God's saving us? This is awesome. This is a great plan. This is a great story. God, I'm all with you. Until God says in verse number 9 and 10, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress you. Come now, therefore, and this is where it starts to change for Moses, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. See, this doesn't make sense. And we get to Moses' objections about this in the next couple minutes. Moses does not want to do this. He is not ready to do this. Moses does not want to go to the land of Egypt to confront Pharaoh. To Moses, it didn't make sense to do what God was calling him to do. This did not make sense to him. Moses didn't want or feel ready to go to Egypt. Moses free 2 million Hebrew slaves? Moses didn't want to do this. So, just to give you some context, Egypt at this time was an empire. The children of Israel, the Israelites, had been slaves for 400 years. That's all they knew. That's all they knew was slavery. Moses was a washed-up has-been prince. Moses was on the most wanted list in Egypt. They wanted to kill Moses. Moses was just a shepherd in the middle of the desert. Moses was a nobody. This is the situation that Moses is in, and God is saying, yeah, he's the guy I want. He's the guy I want to lead the people out of Israel. God told Moses, you're the guy I want to lead. Sometimes God is going to lead you to do something that you're not ready to do. Sometimes God is going to put something on your heart. He's going to put something in your mind, or he's going to put something in your spouse's heart, spouse's mind, and they're going to bring it to you, or God is going to bring it to you, and you're not going to be ready to do it. This is what God is doing to Moses. God is saying to Moses, here's what I want you to do. I know you're not ready to do it, but I want you to do it anyway. I want you to go to Egypt even though you're a nobody, even though you've messed up, even though you've had failures, even though you're not who you used to be. This is what I want you to do. I know you're not ready, but this is the direction for your life. And Moses can say, yeah, God, I'm going to do it. Or he can say, no, God, I'm not ready to do that right now. I'm just not at the point in my life where I'm ready to do that. God wants you to forgive before you're ready. He wants you to do the things before you're ready to do them. He wants you to serve others before you're ready. God is going to say to you, go in that direction before you want to go in that direction. He's going to say to you, do that thing when you don't want to do that thing or you don't feel ready to do that thing. You see, when you have those moments this year, it's okay to do what God is calling you to do, even if you don't feel ready to do it. Whatever God puts on your heart this year, or whatever God convicts you about, the Holy Spirit, or someone else talks to you about, convicts you about, and says, this needs to change in your life, or this is something you need to confront in your life, it is okay to deal with that thing before you are ready to deal with it. You see, because of this principle, Moses became the leader of Israel. Because of this one principle, he did something before he was ready to do it. Because of this one principle, Moses became the leader of Israel. He became the spokesperson of God. He became the man who could part an ocean with a staff. Because he did things he wasn't ready to do. Because he took a step of faith before he was ready. Before he had all of his doubts worked out. Before he dealt with all of his insecurities. And this is what so many Christians believe, that we have to have all of our doubts and fears worked out before we can do something as a Christian. You don't have to. You can have doubts and still move forward. So how do we do this? How do we do this? How do we confront the things in our life that we're not ready to confront? How do we deal with the things in our life that we're not ready to deal with? Look at Exodus chapter 3, verse number 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Look at his mindset. His mindset, his perspective right now is on himself. He says, who am I? I'm a nobody. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? And this, again, he says this is all about him right now. Who am I that I should go into Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children out of Egypt? And he said, this is what God says. After Moses, this is great. After Moses says, who am I? God says, certainly I will be with you. And this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee when thou hast brought the... And he says, I'm going to bring you back to this mountain. And then Exodus chapter 4, we didn't read this, but this is in the very next chapter, verse number 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, he brings another objection. Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. First he says, who am I? I'm a nobody. And then he says, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. And this is a speaking job. I have to speak to the Pharaoh. I have to speak to the people. This is not a speaking job. This is a speaking job, and I'm not a good speaker. I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's tongue? Who hath made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go. And again he reiterates it. I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what things you should say. You see, when Moses came to God with a list of inadequacies and self-doubt and fears about who he was in the job he had to do, God says, it's not about your inadequacies. It's not about your weaknesses. It's not about your fears. It's about who I am. It's about me being with you. It's not about what you can do. It's about me being with you. It didn't matter who Moses was. It didn't matter what his inadequacies were. It didn't matter what his fears were. It didn't matter what his doubts were. What mattered was who was with him. And God was with him. That's what matters. You can take that step of faith. You can take any step of faith that you're not ready to take, not because of your own strength, but because of who is with you. Anything in your life, any step of faith that you want to take, You can take that step of faith, not because of your own strength, but because God says, I will be with you. Anytime you take a step of faith, I will be with you every step of the way. I will give you the strength you need to get through that step. Isaiah chapter 41, fear thou not, God says, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You say, I'm not ready to forgive that person. You don't need to be ready to forgive that person. All you need to do is forgive that person because God said, I'll be with you when you do. You don't need to be ready to give. You don't need to be ready to start tithing because God says, I will be with you. I will take care of you. You don't need to be ready to start being the, you don't need to be ready to be a, start being the leader of your family, of your household, because God says, you can take that step before you're ready. I'll be with you. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you everything you need. God promises his presence. God promises strength for every step. You ever been to the gym? I know I talk about the gym a lot. I really don't go to the gym all that much. But one thing I do know about the gym, because I've learned from, maybe I've told you this story. It's kind of an embarrassing story. But I told you, I'm not really good at the gym. Couldn't do the whole gym thing. So sometimes my wife does her own, we go to the gym together most of the time. And she does her own thing off doing whatever the ladies, aerobics or whatever, you know. I do the heavyweights. Okay. I go to the gym. I do the bench press on chest day. Bench press is where you lay down. There's lots of weight on either side, and you guys know what I'm talking about. Bench press. You guys, you bench it, and you put lots of weights on it. Well, sometimes you need a spotter because you want to put a lot of weight on it, right? And you're not sure if you can lift all of it. And so I started to lift weights. Again, my wife wasn't there to spot me, but I didn't have anybody there. And a spotter means, you guys know what a spotter is. A spotter is someone who stands over you as you're lifting the weights, and they make sure you lift it all the way up. And they help you, and they kind of encourage you, or they yell at you, or whatever. And they tell you, hey, you need to lift more. You need to lift two more reps, you know, two more times. And they're just kind of with you to make sure that, to encourage you and make sure that you're lifting it all properly. And well, this particular time, well, it's been a couple times this happened to me, but I was lifting too much, and I didn't have anybody there with me. And so you know, you're in the bench, and you start to lift it, and you bring it down. And you're about to lift it back up. Only right here, I'm like, you know, you have that moment where you're like, oh, I can't lift it all. Oh, what am I going to do? And it starts to wobble a little bit. I'm like, it's stuck. I'm trying to like roll it off of me to get it off of my body. And all of a sudden, this happened to me twice. There's a lady that comes over. This is so demeaning towards me. There's a lady that comes over. She's like, oh, looks like you need help. Let me help you. And she starts to lift the weights, you know, to get it back on the rack for me. That's what happens when you don't have a spotter. You know what God says? He says, I'll be your spotter through life. I'll be the person, no matter what you have to lift, no matter what it is in your life that you're going through, no matter what it is, the weight that you're carrying, the weight that you're going to carry, the weight that you don't want to carry that you know you should, I'll be there with you. I'll be your spotter. For every weight you lift in this life, God will be there to give you the strength to lift it. And so many times we think to ourselves, I can't do that as a Christian. But God says, you can do it, not because of your own strength, because I'm with you. Because I'll keep you. Every step of the way, I'll be with you. You see, God promises he will be with you every time you do what you're not ready to do. What you're afraid to do, he'll be with you. What you're uncomfortable doing, God says, I'll be with you to do it. He had faith in what he could do through Moses. You see, this is so important. God commanded Moses to go to Egypt not because he had faith in Moses. Moses didn't have faith in Moses. God didn't command Moses to go to Egypt because he had faith in Moses. God commanded Moses to go to Egypt because he had faith in what he could do through Moses. God has faith in what he can do through you. He doesn't have faith in us. We don't have faith in us. He has faith in what he can do through you, though. You see, when you're with God, when God is with you, when you're following God every step of the way, and you do something you're not ready to do, God can do everything he needs to do through your life. Years from this moment in Moses' life, the Israelites would be led to do something they weren't ready to do. Moses, in this point in his life, was doing something he wasn't ready. Years from this point, the Israelites would be led to do something they weren't ready to do. And Moses would tell them the exact same thing that God told him. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 31. He says, be strong and of a good courage. Why? Because they're strong people? Why is he saying for them to have courage? Because they have a lot of courage? Because they're great people? Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Why? For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee or forsake thee. You know why we think so many times we can't take a step forward as a Christian or in some other area of our lives? Because, I can't do it. God says, you can do it. I will never forsake you. I will never fail you. What was true for Moses and what was true for the Israelites is true for us. God will give you the strength for every step that you need to take. This requires faith in God's power and God's calling. God wants us to step out before we know how it's going to turn out. God is at the place where faith meets fear. God is at the place where your faith meets your fear. God is the closest to those who are stepping out in faith in spite of the fear that they have in their life. We see this true in the story of Peter. You remember the Apostle Peter? He's on a boat. He's in the middle of a lake, and this is during the time of Jesus. Peter's on a boat with the other disciples. He's in the middle of a lake, and there's a storm raging, and there's wind blowing all around him. He's in this nasty storm, and he sees Jesus walking on the water, coming towards the disciples, coming towards their boat. And they remember that they confuse him for a ghost. They confuse him for a spirit. Like, who is this spirit? And Jesus says, no, it is I, Jesus. And they look at Jesus, and Peter, out of all the disciples, he's the one on the boat. Again, it's like a hurricane, gale force winds coming out. And Peter says, Jesus, if you want me to, I'll come to you. And Jesus says, come. He just says one word, come. And Peter gets off of the boat and he starts walking and taking steps toward Jesus as Jesus had told him to do. Even though there's this wind blowing, even though the storm is raging, even though the waves are crashing, Peter is doing something he is fearful of doing. And you know he's fearful of doing it because he starts to look around. And the Bible says he starts to look at the sea, he starts to look at the storm, and he starts to sink because of the storm. He starts to sink because he's in too deep. He starts to sink because of the storm around him, and he says, Jesus. He says, it's just one word, it says, Jesus, and Jesus catches him, and he brings him back up. See, that's the lesson this morning. You see, sometimes there's going to be storms around us. Sometimes there's going to be things that we're not ready to do, but it is when you take that step of faith that you're closer to Jesus than anybody else. You see, Peter, when he took that step towards Jesus, in the middle of the raging sea, he was closer to Jesus than the disciples who were safe on the boat. We can live a safe life, or we can live the life that God's intended for us, taking steps of faith closer towards him. You know, none of the other disciples were able to walk on water. Peter could, because he did something he wasn't ready to do, because he did something in spite of the fear around him. You see, often taking a step of faith will be scary, and it will seem like you're stepping out on water, but that's where God meets you. That's where Jesus meets you. But that's not all Moses needed to know, because he raised a second objection on why he wasn't ready to go to Egypt. Look at this, Exodus chapter 3, verse number 13. Moses said unto God, behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, we read this, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. See, God told Moses that you can do what you're not ready to do when you understand who God is. That's what the people needed to hear. The people needed to be reassured that the God of Moses was the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac. The people needed a better understanding of who God was. That is what would empower Moses to do what he didn't want to do. See, the more I understand who God is, his character, his promises, his miracles, his power, the easier it will be to step out in faith. The easier it will be to have the best year we've ever had. You ever flown before? I just flew the other day. I hate it. Every single time I go flying, it's no fun. You ever go flying, though, and it's always a step of faith when you go flying. Because we all have, every time we're on the plane, you're like, I hope I make it, you know. But this is kind of a scary thing. It's never that big of a deal, you know, because you get on the plane, everybody gets on the plane. You know one thing that reassured me? This past time, we got on the plane. I was, you're walking down the aisleway, the movable, mobile aisleway to get into the plane, to actually get in the plane. And they have windows sometimes on the sides of this ramp thing, the ramp that goes down to the plane. They have windows. And I looked out the window because you had nothing better to do. You're waiting for everybody to get through, put their luggage in there, and they take forever doing it. And so you look outside, and I saw the pilot, the big hoss pilot, the pilot, he's out there at the plane. It's cold outside. It's bitter cold. He's out there at the plane. He's looking at the plane. I see him. He's looking at the big old huge turbines, and he's marking something down on something, and he's starting to look at underneath. You know, he kind of taps it a little bit, you know, checks it. He starts to look around the plane, and he starts to make. What is he doing? He's making sure that the plane is ready to fly. You know why I liked that? Because I thought to myself, okay, I'm afraid of flying. Always afraid of flying. But at least I know this pilot cares about this flight. At least I know this pilot cares about what's going on. At least I know this pilot cares about his job. It's not just something he's doing to get money. This is something he wants to keep people safe. You know, I was put at ease, and I could better take that step of faith and get on that plane when I understood more about who the pilot was. You know what gives us more faith, more courage to step out in faith is when we understand better who God is. And how do we do that? By spending time in His Word, by having a daily relationship with God. You can take a step of faith much easier when you have a daily relationship with God than you could otherwise. That's why it's so important to always be in God's Word, daily having time in prayer, daily spending time worshiping God with music, daily having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That will give you a better understanding of who God is, His character, His promises, His miracles, what He wants to do in our life. The more we understand who God is, the more confidence we can have in the things He's called us to do. You know why it's so hard for many Christians to take a step of faith, to move forward, to serve, to give whatever in their own life or even in their family? It's because they don't have a relationship with God that's real. They don't understand that God never lets someone down. They don't understand that God will never forsake someone, that God will never fail someone. This doesn't mean that you'll never have doubt or fear. Faith is not the absence of doubt. You can exercise faith while wrestling with doubt. You can exercise faith while wrestling with doubt. You know, like I just said, you can get on a plane, and I have a fear of planes, like getting on high places anywhere. I don't like getting on high places. I have a fear every time I get on the plane, but I still get on. And you remember sometimes there's turbulence? You ever had turbulence when you're flying? You guys look at me. You never had turbulence. It's always been a nice ride. Yeah, turbulence when you're flying, and it jolts you awake, or it jolts you, you start to get scared. Like, I hope this thing doesn't go down on me. And yet you still get on a plane to get home. That's what God is saying. In spite of your fear, you can have faith. In spite of the doubts that you have about Christianity, about God, about things of the Bible, you can still have faith. In spite of the doubts that you have about taking this step of faith in your life or doing this thing or about forgiveness or about this thing that God's convicted you about, in spite of the doubts, in spite of the insecurities, in spite of the fears, you can still move forward. Faith is not the absence of doubt. Faith is moving forward in spite of the doubt. Faith is moving forward in spite of the fear. Faith is moving forward in spite of the inadequacies. These people that you read of in the Bible, Moses was not a perfect man, was not a man that had no doubts. He was obviously full of doubts. The reason he's so special in the Bible is because he faced his fears and he had faith in spite of them. In the midst of the fear, he had faith. That's the point. The point is that the more you understand God, the less power fear has over you. The reason some Christians grow and some do not is because some have a daily relationship with Jesus Christ and some have a dosage relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, one thing that when you start to get in shape and you're starting to want to get your health better, you start to go on a diet, right? Start to go on a diet, and every once in a while it's called a cheat meal. You go on a diet for so long, and maybe at the end of the week you have a cheat meal. That's where you cheat, and you have maybe fast food or some food that you like. That's the way you ought to do it. That's the way I've done it anyway. I don't know. There's always doctors who say this and that about stuff. But that's how I've done it. I have a cheat meal, you know. You know what a lot of people do? This is how I used to be when I was in my mid-20s. When I was a youngin, I was in my mid-20s. You know what I used to do? I used to have chicken nuggets for lunch. I used to have pizza, DiGiorno pizza for dinner. The next morning, you have a bowl of Lucky Charms, and you repeat that every day. And then every once in a while, you go out to eat. And to make yourself feel good, you have a salad. You get your dosage of healthy food to make you feel better about the bad food you're about to eat. You know, that's what a lot of Christians do. A lot of Christians, they have a dosage relationship with Jesus Christ. You know what? I'll get my dosage of Jesus Christ this week. Go to church every once in a while. Or I'll read my Bible once in a blue moon. Or I'll have a relationship with God every so often when I'm not feeling too good. I'll get my dosage of God. That way I can feel good. And then I'm good for the week. Or I'm good for the month. God says, what it is you ought to have a daily relationship with me. It ought to be every single day that you are building into your relationship with God. This is what some do with God. He's just something we consume in doses to make us feel good about ourselves. Then we wonder why we don't grow spiritually. This is what God is saying to us this morning. God was trying to tell Moses that if he wanted the strength to lead a nation in spite of his fear, it would come from an understanding of who God is. An understanding of who God is, spending time in His Word. And then I love what God says to Moses. Next, this is important. You can almost skip over this if you're not careful, because God knew that Moses felt like he wasn't ready to take a step of faith. Look at this. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 16. This is important. He says, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt, and they shall hearken to thy voice. Why is that important? Because God just got done saying to Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and I want you to talk to the Pharaoh. Right? So I want you to talk to the Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. But then God says to Moses here, before you go to Pharaoh, you're going to go to the elders and tell them what's going to happen. And God says, he guarantees to Moses, they're going to obey. They're going to listen. They're going to agree with you. They're going to do, and they're going to recognize you as their leader. Why is that important to us this morning? Because God is saying, he's telling Moses, before you do this big thing that I want you to do, that you're not ready to do, I'm going to allow you to take a smaller step before you get to that bigger step of faith. Before you get to telling the Pharaoh, the Pharaoh of all the biggest empire in the world at this time, before you get to him, you're going to take a small step. And you're just going to go to the elders of Israel. You're going to go to the leaders of Israel. You're going to tell them, this is what's going to happen. God's going to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. You know why this is so awesome? It's because God says, I want you to take a small step of faith before you take a big one. You know, if God is leading you to do something that you're not ready to do, take a small step of faith. If God is leading you to do something that you're not ready to do, that you're not comfortable doing, you're fearful of doing, take a small step of faith in that direction. It doesn't have to be a huge step of faith in that direction. Take a small step of faith. God is leading Moses not to take a big step of faith at first. He's saying, this is the small step of faith. This is the springboard step of faith before you get to this big step. This is what I want you to do. Take a small step of faith. There are going to be times in life when you need to take a step of faith before you're ready. In those times, the best way to do it is to take a small step. This is so important. We know this is true because if you have kids and you've had little children, their little infants, they're maybe a couple months old, or I don't know how old they are, before they start to stand up on their own. They want to stand up sometimes. And you think to yourself, man, they're not ready to stand up. You see their little legs wobbling. I remember my brother, he has three little kids, and sometimes when they start to stand, their little legs wobble, and all of a sudden, boom, they topple over. And you're like, oh, man, I can't wait until they take that first step. And they'll try it again a couple days later. They start to stand up, and you have your little camera ready, and you have your little phone ready, and you're trying to video record it. Maybe someone's at work, and they didn't see it, so you want to record it, send it to them. They start to stand up, and they wobble over. And a couple days later, the kids are at someplace else in the house, and they start to stand up, and guess what? They take a baby step. And then, boom, they fall down. You know, oh, man, they really biffed it. And they get up, and they start to take another step. And take a couple steps. And before you know it, the little babies has these wobbly little legs, and they're walking all over the house, getting into everything they shouldn't get into, beating up the cat, and they're doing all sorts of stuff. And you're like, man, what if, you know, that child, that little baby that has these wobbly little steps, that baby one day might grow up to be a very very, very athletic, maybe even go into the Olympics. They maybe even become a runner. They may be really athletic. They may play basketball, football, volleyball, tennis. Who knows what that little baby, but it starts with taking those little baby steps. Before they can become the athlete, they have to take the baby steps. You know, as Christians, sometimes if you know that God's leading you to take a step of faith, it's okay to take some baby steps. It's okay to take a small step of faith. God wants to lead you to start to forgive that person. Take a small step of faith in that direction. God wants to lead you to serve someone. He wants to lead you to give, or to start to take a small step of faith. God wants to lead you to spend more time with your family in 2019. Take a small step of faith in that direction. Take a baby step of faith in that direction. That is okay. See, one day that little baby may become a strong man, but it starts with a baby step. Take small steps toward the things you know are right, but you're not ready for. What you do when you're not ready will determine who you are as a Christian. I'm here to tell you this morning, do something that you're not ready to do in this year. Do something you're not ready to do. Mark it down that you're going to do something that you didn't do last year because you're afraid. Mark it down that you're going to do something in 2019 that you didn't do last year because you didn't feel comfortable with it. Do something this year that you're not ready to do, that you're saying, I'm going to face that fear. I have God with me. I'm going to take a baby step. I'm going to take a small step towards that. I'm going to face that fear. I'm going to face that as a Christian. You see, if you need any other example of this, you say, who's the example of this? The ultimate example of this is Jesus. You remember before Jesus, remember the story of Jesus, before he goes and he's tried, before he has his mock trial, before he's nailed to a cross. Before that, you remember he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. You guys remember the story? He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying with his disciples. You remember what he prayed to God during this time? Matthew 26, just hours before he's taken by Judas. Just hours before he's taken, he's tried as a criminal. Then cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. This is the same God we know. This is the same God that's high and lifted up on the right hand of God is sorrowful. Look at this. And my soul, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, watch this. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Before Jesus was crucified, he was in a garden praying to the Father, I don't want to do this. Let this cup, if it's all possible, let this cup pass from me. Let these events that are about to transpire pass from me. That's the fear. That's the doubt, if you want to call it that. I don't have a better word for that. That's whatever that is in Jesus' heart right there. That's what he's facing right now. But what happens? He finishes the prayer by saying, not as thou wilt, but thy will be done. He's coming across a fear or a doubt or whatever that is in Jesus' life right there. You can call it a fear, call it a doubt, whatever. He's coming to that. He's being confronted with that. Something he's not ready to do. He says, I don't want to do this. I'm not ready to do this, but I will in spite of everything that I feel right now. I will, even though I am sorrowful unto death right now, I will go through with what God's leading me to do. That is the ultimate example of someone taking a step of faith before they're ready to take it. Someone going through what God wants them to do, even in spite of the fears, even in spite of the doubts. This is so important. Jesus did what he was afraid to do, and look at who he became because of it. You see, look at the end result of what this step of faith brought Jesus and brought the world. Look at the end result. You can see, right now you can't see it, but look at you take one step of faith right now, this year in 2019, at 2020, when we get to the same week next year, you're going to be able to look back and say, this is what happened because I took that step of faith. Watch this. This is what happened to Jesus because he took that step of faith. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 7, but made himself of no reputation. This is Jesus. He come into earth. He makes himself of no reputation. He's very lowly. And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He put on flesh. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. This is the death that Jesus is afraid of, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. See that? That step of faith that Jesus took, that he wasn't ready to take, call it fear, call it doubt, whatever. That step of faith he took, he wasn't ready to take. He took it anyway. And God says, You've been highly exalted. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth. Jesus was obedient to the cross that God had prepared for him, and Jesus became the only one. He became the only one because he took a step of faith he wasn't ready to take. He was the only one. He became the only one who could reconcile us to God. Now we can have a relationship with God because of what Jesus did in that step of faith before he was ready to take it. Jesus is the ultimate example of someone who did what he wasn't ready to do. And we should follow that example. What is it that you are not ready to do that you know you should? Let me encourage you to do it. Take a small step of faith and do it.